Good afternoon. My name is Steve Luckable, and I'd like to welcome you to the Staff Recruitment and Retention Community of Practice Number 4 webinar. This one centered around engaging your staff in customer service. The webinar is brought to you by the Partnerships for Care HIV Training, Technical Assistance, and Collaboration Center, HIV Tech. The Partnerships for Care project is a 3-year multi-agency project funded by the Secretary's Minority AIDS Initiative Fund and the Affordable Care Act. The goals of the project are to expand provision of HIV testing, prevention, care, and treatment in health centers serving communities highly impacted by HIV, to build sustainable partnerships between health centers and their state health department, and to improve health outcomes among people living with HIV, especially among racial and ethnic minorities. The project is supported by the HIV Training, Technical Assistance, and Collaboration Center, HIV Tech. Our speaker again today is Ann Hogan. Ann has over 25 years' experience in the human resources field, including training, employee relations, benefits and compensation management, conflict resolution, and employee development and strategic planning. Ann is a certified senior professional in human resources through the Human Resource Certification Institute and is a professional member of the Society of Human Resource Management, the American Society of Healthcare Human Resources Administration, and the American Society of Training. Ann is a graduate of the Metropolitan State College of Denver with a Bachelor's of Science in Management and has a Master's degree in Education in Human Resource Studies from Colorado State University with a focus on organizational performance and change. She is also a graduate of the 2011 University of Washington Community Health Leadership Institute Certificate Program, and in 2012, she completed the Geiger-Gibson Fellowship Program through the George Washington University. Please join me in welcoming Ann Hogan.
Thank you, Steve. This is our last webinar in a series of 4, and so I'm so excited to have you here today because we're going to talk about employee engagement when it comes to customer service. But before we do that, I want to recap a little bit about our other webinars that we've had previously. Our first webinar was all about position description, and it talked about the general duties of the description, your reporting structure, your Fair Labor Standards Act qualification for that position, whether it was non-exempt or exempt, any competencies, and the essential functions of the job. So if you want to learn more about that, please go back and watch webinar number 1. We also included content on knowledge, skills, abilities, education requirements, and a variety of information that you need to have on that job description. And then we also talked about how position descriptions can assist you in making your interview guide. So that's a really important piece because interviewing, as we also discussed on there, you need to have behavioral-based interviewing questions along with a number of other questions there because that's actually how you're going to find out if this person's really qualified and the right fit for your organization. So be sure to go back and listen to webinar number 1 on position description. Then on webinar number 2, we had a little less exciting topic, but yet one that's just as important and one that we all deal with at some point in our work, whether it be team members, as a manager, as an employee. It doesn't matter what level you are in the organization or what your role is. Everyone at some point deals with conflict. So you need to go back and watch webinar number 2 if you'd like to know about more about conflict. And we talked about the 4 ways to actually address conflict, which was, 1, you're going to talk to all the parties involved, right? I mean, that only makes sense. You're going to always, always, always remain objective because that, again, is crucial when you're trying to decide how it's going to be resolved. The 3rd thing that you're going to focus on is only the behaviors and the actions and not actually the person. You have to set all your biases and perceptions aside and just talk about the behavior and the actions and how that's affecting others or how that's affecting 2 or 3 people getting along or a team. And then also remember always that your goal is your patient care and your organization and your team. The goal is not to make someone happy. The goal is not to avoid the conflict. The idea is that you actually address it and keep the end goal in mind, that the goal is your patient care or the organization or your team. So always remember that. And then there's also 4 ways to actually deal with conflict. 1 is to avoid it completely, which many of us like to do a lot of times, right? No one really wants to deal with conflict, so we kind of just back off and avoid it. The 2nd way that you can deal with it is actually to separate employees. and I'm just talking, like, say it's two employees or a team member, one way to deal with that is always to separate employees. Not necessarily the best way, because you actually haven't dealt with that root issue of what's happening between the two employees. You're just making it go away temporarily, usually. Then the third way is to mediate. And mediate, as we talked about, is a little bit different than accommodation. A mediation is actually when two people agree to mediate the issue, and they come to some type of agreement as to how they're going to work together in the future. And with mediation, you have to continually check in with them and make sure things are going okay, but that's also one way to do it. The fourth way is to just basically accommodate them. And again, all of these different things have their place. Avoiding separation, mediating, and accommodating, they all have their distinct place in conflict resolution. But usually you need to actually deal with it and find a way to either mediate or accommodate it, or to have someone change their behavior. And you always have to remember that at some point, if someone's not willing to change their behavior, they may not be right for your organization, as hard as that can be. Because sometimes that position, you don't want to lose that. Well, not so much the person. You can't afford to have no one in that position. But in the long run, you'll want to make those tough choices at times. So watch webinar number two about conflict management. That was it's a real good information there. The third one, webinar number three, was on recruitment and retention and hiring for the right fit. Now, that is a much more lighthearted and fun webinar than conflict management. But conflict management, we made it as fun as we could. And it's one of the important pieces for you to learn as a manager or as a team member. But when we got to hiring to fit, we talked about no discrimination in your process of hiring or recruiting. Finding out what your needs and wants are. How do you actually determine what they are? How you're going to source different candidates? What are you going to do? How are you going to find them? Then about your interview process. And we talked more about setting your interview questions to find out exactly what you need, because that's your only conversation with this person, right? And they always, always, always try to put on their best face. So you want to make sure you're really getting down to the nitty-gritty of what can this person do and how do they really act, and find out if they're a good fit for your organization. We talked a lot about the interview process. Then we talked about your selection process. And that is a real overview of hiring for the right fit. Additionally, during that webinar, we talked about two other things that I want to make sure you bring up. One is active versus passive recruiting. And some of you as team members on the HIV team or project managers, things like that, may not have a lot to do with actually the advertising of the position, but you can certainly help influence that. And when it comes to active versus passive recruiting, active recruiting is when people are actively seeking another position, right? So I'm out there, I'm searching the web, I'm looking for a job. That would be active recruiting. Passive recruiting is when maybe I'm on LinkedIn or maybe I'm on Facebook, or maybe I'm reading a newspaper and I go through and I see an ad for a position. Or maybe I get a mailing in the mail. That's more passive. So then I open it and go, oh, this sounds interesting. Maybe I should look into this further. Well, 75% of all physicians, and about that percentage of all healthcare providers, period, are hired in a passive way. So don't think that, you know, asking HR or working with your different departments and say, can we put this on Facebook? Can we let our friends know that this position is open? That's not a bad idea. Again, 75% of the workforce is recruited through passive means. It's higher in the healthcare field. So people only get jobs they're looking for 25% of the time. They're only out there active looking. So 75% of the time, they're passively recruited. So think about that in how you're recruiting and how you're going to do that. Additionally, candidate sourcing, it's changed. And it depends on kind of where you are on the generational pendulum here, but it's definitely changed. Our candidate sourcing is through LinkedIn. It is through Facebook. It is through social media. It is no longer in the newspaper, which I mentioned earlier. It can be in advertisements, in magazines that someone would read outside of their work profession. So, for instance, it could be sporting magazines if you're looking for a physician. It could be if you're looking for someone, I guess the point is that you want to look at what are they doing outside of their work and maybe you want to put ads in there. When you look at trying to find somebody, candidate sourcing has definitely changed. So think about how social media, et cetera, affects your candidate sourcing. Now, to get to the fourth webinar, which we all appreciate all of you being here for all four of them. It has been a fantastic group. And so as we get started on this one is on engaging your staff for customer service. And I want you to really think about what customer service looks like in your organization and what you think it actually could look like, and how we need to move our employees at times into a more engaged employee. I think that everyone probably comes to work in the morning and thinks they're doing a good job, right? Everyone hopes that anyway. And how do you actually get them engaged and really going that extra mile for you? So we'll talk about that, because an engaged employee gives good customer service. They go hand in hand. There's no separating those two things. So today we're going to talk about understanding the behaviors needed for the staff in your organization to have a great experience for the patient. And as we think about that, think back on maybe where you've received outstanding service from someone. It could be the people that change royalties. It could be the airline you fly. It could be maybe, you know, any community event or a restaurant that you like to visit. Think about where you see that above and beyond great experience. Just think about that as we go through this. And then we're going to learn how to develop and utilize a customer service plan. And we're going to talk a little bit about the plan. And then whoever comes on to the webinar or whoever signed up for the webinar, I'll send them some more information on a customer service plan, and they can forward that out to you. So hopefully that'll be helpful in kind of developing that plan. And remember, please remember, because sometimes as an employee in an organization, we don't feel like we can make a difference. You know, we can't just go out there and decide the organization needs a customer service plan if we don't have one. But nothing prevents you from doing it for yourself or for your team. So remember that even if you don't have the ability to influence the entire organization, you do have the ability to influence how you're doing it and how your team is doing it. And then bring it to the organization and say, this is what we changed. So don't ever feel like you can't make that difference. And then we're going to learn how to measure the results and give you some tools and resources of where they are. So define, Gallup, you know, Gallup surveys everything, and they are the data wizards. And so what they define as an engaged employee are those who are, one, involved. What does involved look like? Maybe this person volunteers. Maybe they sign up for extra projects. Maybe they're the ones that do just want to have suggestions, and they want to be doing something more for the organization. That would be your involved one. Your enthusiastic person. Think about that. You all have enthusiastic people on your team, I'm sure. There's always that one or two that stand out that are like, we're going to win, we're going to do this, we're going to have everything happen, and we have great ideas, and we don't let anything, you know, let us down, and they're always that person that comes to work and is very joyful and ecstatic and excited. That's your enthusiastic person. So think about that. That's an engaged employee. And then the one that's committed. Not the one that says that they'll always work overtime or, oh, they're so busy. No, not committed like that. But committed to actually improving the organization. What are they doing to improve it? What are they doing to make it better? What is their commitment to their team? Are they really a committed team member? Are they there? Are they willing to help? You know, that's your commitment people. Do they show up every day? Are they committed to the organization and to their workplace? And then 80% of employees with a high degree of trust in management are committed to the organization. So what does that say? We're going to talk about how does the employee gain trust in the organization, right? I mean, if you think about this as an employee, I think that we can all say that we want to be able to trust our employers, right? So yes, 80% of employees with a high degree of trust in management are committed to the organization, compared to 25% with a low degree of trust are engaged. So think about those numbers. They also say that highly engaged employees have fewer absence days. Why? Because they actually enjoy coming to work, right? I think that we all know that employees that call in sick a lot of times are not necessarily sick in a physical sense. It's more like, I don't want to come to work. I don't want to face those things that are going on at my job. My job is boring. I don't like the people I work with. It could be a variety of reasons. But remember, usually, if someone is calling in sick constant, there's more going on. And it could be something in their personal life that you need to help them with as far as the employee assistance plan or things like that. So don't just jump to conclusions. But usually it's either that personal issue or more than likely, it's just the fact that they are unengaged. For whatever reason, they've checked out. And so you need to look at those absences and then think about your engaged employees. And think about who they are on your team members. Who are those project managers? Who's on that project HIV team that's really making a difference? Who is really engaged? And now, I'm sure many of you don't have teams that are huge, right? So everybody has to be engaged in order to make the difference that you need to make in the community. So think about how are you going to engage everybody in this? And like I said, even if it's not the organization's commitment, it can be your commitment as the manager of that program. So customer service and engagement. I love this graphic because it kind of shows a win-win for everybody, and it probably should be a blue ribbon. But in this case, we're not going to give a blue ribbon to everybody, okay? This is one of those things that either you have customer service and you have engagement, or you need to continue to work to meet that bar. And it's a hard bar to actually meet. So when we think about those organizations again, and I'll keep bringing a few of them up just so you can kind of keep them in your mind, but you think about, you know, whether you've been to these places or you've heard about them, think about Disney, okay? Most people, I mean, they have atrocious lines, right? The prices are expensive to get in, but yet everybody still wants to go there. Why? Well, one, they have magic, right? Two, people know that the majority, like probably 99% of all people that come visit, they have a wonderful time, and they have a wonderful time because Disney has team members and that are actors, and they audition their part, right, throughout the park, and they provide incredible service. Did you know that Disney has in place, so if you walk up to one concessionaire, and you say, do you have a Diet Coke? And they say, no, we don't have Diet Coke over here, but we have Diet Coke in this concession stand right across the street here. That person that just told you they don't have it will actually call the other place and tell them that this gentleman with the red backpack and the two kids in tow and the wife who was limping because she's walked all day is coming over to your concession stand. Can you have him a Diet Coke ready? Okay, this is called customer service and engagement. The employees do this. They know it's their expectation. The customers will be surprised at what happens. But at the same time, when you think of Disney, generally you think of this wonderful experience. In addition to the long line, in addition to the high cost. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Everybody kind of ignores that part to be able to go. And just think about how they've done that. They've engaged in their customer service. And not in always, right? They haven't solved the line problem. They haven't solved the two-hour wait and the rides, but it doesn't prevent people from going. So think about that. Frederick Herzberg has done a lot of research on all sorts of things. And what he observed is that employees were motivated by factors like responsibility, right? I mean, think about yourself. If you don't want to go to work and have nothing to do or nothing that makes a difference, right? So your responsibility, your ability to achieve things, recognition, type of work that you're doing, and also the potential for advancement. And it may not be advancement in the true sense of, I want a different title, I want a bigger raise, et cetera, et cetera. It could be your advancement in just your knowledge. When you hire, say, a nurse, or a physician, or a dental hygienist, you can't make a nurse a doctor. They have to go back to school for that, right? But you can, within your group, give more knowledge to that nurse. Have them attend more management classes. Have them attend more continuing education classes. Get them involved in what they really desire. Some nurses want to work with geriatrics. Some want to work in HIV. Some want to work in pediatrics. Some want to work general. Some want to do preventative health. Some want to do women's health, etc. There's a whole bunch of places that you can do advancement for your employees currently, or your front desk staff. Again, give them more responsibility. Allow them the opportunity to go to more classes or to learn something new or to learn a little about billing. All of that counts as advanced. And then motivated employees have the potential to become fully engaged in their work. And so think about that. You can do all of these different things. Now, how are you going to actually motivate them? So when you look at the National Research Institute, or at least it didn't print on my copy, individuals who feel completely committed to organizations have great pride in doing their job. And think about that. Think about Southwest Airlines. Now, the majority, again, of employees at Southwest, if you ride on their planes, or if you meet them at the airport, or if you see their commercials, they're not completely made up, right? This is how they actually act. So, and they take great pride in where they work. And you could say that for a lot of organizations. And again, it's not true for 100% of all employees by any stretch of the imagination, but it should be true for about 95% of your employees. You can't afford too many bad apples in the organization. But that great pride, they go the extra mile, right? You know who those people are on your team, and then look at it. Am I one of them, of those people or not? But who are they that go the extra mile? Who is it that you'll go to? When you have a project that really needs to get done and you don't have much time and you don't have time to describe it to people, etc., who are you going to go to? That's your extra mile person, right? So we all have them. And then how do we influence customer service or engagement? Well, an engaged employee actually knows their job, right? They're excited about their job, and therefore they provide good customer service, because you can't provide good customer service and just be kind of blah, right? If you're just kind of blah, you're not providing good customer service. You have the right answers, but no one really wants to listen to that, right? And then please and thank you. These are two things that we've probably talked about before, because they truly make a difference when it comes to our patients, when it comes to maybe dealing with vendors, maybe talking with employees, etc. Please and thank you are huge in engaging employees, and they go a long, long way. And that's actually been proven by this doctor, by the National Business Research Institute, by those two things. So remember your please and thank you. So now we're going to talk about how to actually engage employees, right? So think of this as your employees, and this is your light bulb going off. What steps can you take, or organizationally can you take, to start engaging your employees, not just having them come to work? Let them in on what's happening in the organization. How are you going to do that? Well, not that hard, right? Too often, we focus on maybe a press release of what the organization is doing. We put it in, you know, out in our chamber newsletter. We send it out on Facebook and everybody else. We forget to tell our own employees. And same thing. So if you have something exciting going on in the organization, let them know. If you're having financial challenges, let them know. If they need to become being good advocates for your community health center or your program or the partnership for care, let them know. If that'll make a difference, let them know. Let them know what's happening in the organization. And if you're talking at the department level or the project team level, again, share that information that you have. Let people in on what is the ultimate goal. Too often people come to work and they don't actually know what the goal of what they're working for. So let them know. Let them be included in the decision making. Now, does that mean that they're going to run the organization or they're going to run the project? Absolutely not. But what it does mean is allow them to have their input, to have their say. Sometimes those are the people that can think of it because they're actually doing that part of the job. And sometimes they have off-the-wall ideas and they're kind of stunned, but at the same time, they're engaging. They need to have that ability to feel included in the decision. Because if you're included in the decision, if you're included, you're more willing to support the project going forward. If you aren't involved in it and someone else just made the decision for you and you are told what to do, that doesn't necessarily go over well as an engaged employee. People might do it, but they don't do it willingly. Let people know your expectations. And we've talked about that almost throughout every single webinar. Everybody needs to know what your expectations are. If you expect people to be there on time, and this is what on time means to you, you need to let them know that. if you expect that you want them to interact with customers and patients in a certain way, well, one, you better model it, and two, they need to know what those expectations are, right? It needs to be well thought out as to what are your expectations for that. And then do you have a customer plan in place or a policy in place? And we'll talk a little bit about the customer service plan, but have you ever assessed what your customers expect or what your patients expect? You want to actually ask them. And again, even if the organization is not doing this, you can, within your project, you can ask your patients, how do you think that we're treating you as far as customer service? What can we do better? And then understand their requirements. What are your patients' requirements? What are their top three things that they want from you? Because at Disney, it's not about getting in on time, right? It's not about the two-hour line. The customers expect to have a good time. They expect the culture to be magical, things like that. Right? But they already know to expect that you're going to be there all day long and you're going to be on your feet and be tired. So again, ask your patients, what do they require of you as a health center or as a project manager or as a team lead? What do they expect? And get their top three requirements. Create your customer and patient vision. What is your vision for your patient? How do you want them to feel when they walk into your clinic? How do you want to feel while they're there? How do you want them to feel when they leave your clinic? Because that's actually your biggest marketing, is actually with the current patients that are there, right? If they've had a wonderful experience, if they've been engaged with, if they've gotten the care that they feel like they need, they will tell everybody about it. And additionally, if they don't get those things, they'll also tell probably even more people. So make sure that you find out what is your vision and how are you going to, what's your policy? Do your policies prevent you from giving good customer service? And I just ask for a moment, think about the United Airlines situation that happened several months ago. Their policy, employees were following policy. Think about how that affected their customer service, because they could not go and change that policy, and they didn't have the ability to, for whatever reason, override that policy. Think about how your policy in your organization are actually affecting customer service. Is it in a positive way, or is there things that can be improved? And then learn to deal and effectively work with your patients. And how are we training our staff to do this? What can they and can't they do? What do you expect? Are you modeling that behavior? Do you want everyone greeted when they come in? That sounds like a really good idea. And people put that in their customer service plan. And then no one does it, and no one actually kind of encourages or enforces that. So think about what it is and how you want to train your employees to actually do that. And then let them know what latitude they have. Let them know where they can operate. What is their parameters? And what do they do if they do have a question? How are you as a manager handling that? Are you just kind of thinking that they should know? Or are you actually improving and training your staff so they can handle that situation next time without your involvement and giving them the latitude to do that? So those are some important points when it talks about customer service plan. And again, do you have your values and vision in place for how you're going to treat those patients? And then again, do you allow the employees to make the decision? And again, think that real through, because sometimes we think that we give our employees a lot of ability to do that, and we find out that we really haven't. So think about what you can do in your project with your team to ensure that your patients are taken care of and that they have extremely engaged employees working with them. How are you going to measure the engagement of your employees? Now, this is a little bit different. One, you can do no measurement. There's employee satisfaction surveys. And engagement surveys sometimes get a little confused, and they can be a little confusing unless you really, really study the two. But satisfaction surveys tell you kind of, I guess, how satisfied an employee is, or how they are satisfied with the organization or the tools of their job or their hours or things like that. Engagement is different. Engagement is usually just a series of questions that's very small. It talks about how willing are you to accept change. We'll go through that, actually. If you're looking for an employee engagement survey, there's a couple places that you can go. One, Gallup has really the model for employee engagement survey, but those are copyrighted questions, and you do need to pay to use that survey. But it is an excellent survey, and it has been proven and validated that this actually measures employee engagement. So it's the gold standard of all things. But you can also look on different things. One is SHRM, which is the Society for Human Resource Management. And SurveyMonkey, which if you've never used SurveyMonkey, it's a fabulous tool. But those two actually joined together and they developed an employee engagement sample survey that they have on their website, and you can use that. So one of the questions is, are employees in my organization willing to accept a change? Now, if I ask that of myself, are you willing to accept a change? You know, all of us want to say, yeah, we're all open to change. Are we really? Are we willing to take on new tasks as needed? Second question. Third one, employees of my organization take the initiative to help out other employees when a need arises. And when you really look at these questions, answer them really honestly. Not in the way that, you know, you want your organization to look, but really, or your team, but really, what does it really look like? Do I have conflict? Do I have the right people on my bus and on my team? How does this all play out? When I ask other people to help out, they really rise into that occasion. Employees proactively identify future challenges and opportunities. Now, when you think about that question, who do you think about? You think about tech companies, right? We've heard about the wonderful places to work at Apple or Google. Now, any of those places, I don't know for sure if it's a great place to work, but they sure have done a really good job of letting us all know that it is a good place to work. But you haven't heard a lot of complaints about the working environment at either one of those places. The other thing, when you think about identifying future challenges and opportunities, when you think about the hotel chain, I've never been to a Ritz-Carlton, but I hear that when you go to a Ritz-Carlton, and I've read a lot of information on Ritz-Carlton on their training program, also on customer service, they don't just train employees. Their expectation is that these employees also have the ability to bring up challenges, to bring up opportunities with the organization, bring up suggestions. They can kind of deal with whatever they need to deal with. They also have the ability to make decisions. If I think they call them, they all have different names, but at Disney they call you your guest. When you have your guest in place, they have the ability to make a decision and decide what's best for that situation. And maybe it goes against policy to some extent, maybe it doesn't. But then they're supported that, or they're educated about what they did that maybe they should try differently in the future. But the point is that they're able to make a decision, they're able to have that latitude to do so, and they're trained well enough that they can. Again, employees are here always. They keep going when the going gets tough. You think about that. It might be you. If you're working on the HIV team and the Partnership for Care, it might be you that when this gets tough, we just keep going. We are the rock and roller of the organization, right? We're the team that doesn't quit. But you all can think about who that is, and or think about who on your team that is. That's an engaged employee again, not the person that just comes in and does their job and does it well. That's not necessarily, that's a satisfied employee probably, but it's not an engaged employee. And what about in your organization? Do employees adapt quickly to difficult situations? That's a tough one, right? So are you really adapting to difficult situations? Are you having financial challenges? How are people actually adapting and supporting you through those different things as an organization? So think about that. Those are your engaged employees, the ones that will actually do that. And then here's some other questions. Think about it. I mean, you can kind of take the survey as we go for yourself. When I'm at work, I completely focus on my job duties. That happens? I don't know. But for an engaged employee, it certainly does. For other people, maybe not. Maybe they're focused on their job duties when they need to be. But the rest of the time, what are they doing? Are they really, really focused? I am determined to give my best effort at work each day. When you think about that, are your employees willing to do that, the best every day? Or do they just give the best when maybe you have an accreditation coming in, or maybe you have guests coming in, or you have someone coming in to look at the program, or a news station coming? Then they really give their best. But if they're doing it every single day, that's probably more of an engaged employee. And I'm so often involved in my work that the day goes by very quickly. Now, we all have days where the day drags on, right? But an engaged employee will go home and feel like, wow, that day went really quick. We were busy. We got a lot accomplished. Those are your engaged employees. And again, those are the ones. And you can move a satisfied employee to an engaged employee by, again, giving them information about what's going on in the organization. Go back to that slide that we had earlier, and you can do this on your own. I get excited about going to work. It's those employees that roll out of bed and go, or hit that snooze button again and again and again, right? They're disengaged. They don't want to actually be there. A totally disengaged employee, you probably can't bring them, you know, you can't bring them along. But if someone's just kind of burned out, they feel like, wow, nothing ever changes. We're not accomplishing anything. But you as a manager, if you start giving them the information of what did you guys do last month? How much of an impact did you make on the community? They'll start to become more engaged again. And they'll become excited about their work because they actually know they're making a difference. So think about that. How can you, as in your project or in your team, start sharing information about the good things that you're really doing? Because I know you guys are doing them. And then I feel completely involved in my work. And there's always a balance there, right? You don't want to be completely burned out and involved to the extent of that burnout. But you feel involved, right? You know your information. You know your material. You know the impact you're making. So you're like completely involved. And you're given the tools you need, the resources you need, the people you need, and you enjoy the people that you work with. That'd be involved. And then you're inspired to meet my goals at work. It's amazing how many people I talk to. Very, 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 very few people have personal goals or have professional goals. And most of them have never talked to their employers about what goals they have for them. So make sure, even if, again, if it's within your team or organizationally, why you're talking about what is the goal for you personally, you professionally, and what are the overall organizational goals? And how does your job fit into those? Because at least then you know what you're working towards. It's kind of like, I'm going to try and train for a 5K, but I don't know what a 5K is. That wouldn't work, right? Or you want to climb a mountain, but you don't have any gear and you don't, this is just your wish. You want to climb a mountain, but you don't go hiking and you don't go biking and you don't get healthy to do that. Then you won't be successful. So again, think about it. What is your goal? You know, many of us wear the Fitbit. And we have a goal of 10,000 steps a day. And what do we do when it gets to 9,500? We walk around until we get to 10,000, right? Because we know that's our goal. So it's really, really important that as you're moving forward in your team, you yourself personally, or if you're in charge of the organization, or you're in charge of the project, determine what those goals are. Have people help you with what they should be. And get them involved, because that's a really key point, is you've got to have your goals in place. Otherwise, you don't know where you're going and you don't know what you're actually going to do. Again, Gallup offers the Q12, which are copyrighted, so I cannot put them on my slide. But if you Google them, you can probably find them. But you actually can't use them, I have to say that, without their permission. But these are things that are proven to measure the engagement of your team, your organization, for your employees. So you can find that at Gallup.com. So now, when we look at this, so what does your engaged team actually look like? So your engaged team is someone who understands the goals of the organization, understands their roles of the organization. They understand how they fit and what they can do. They have an emotional commitment to the organization. We all know those people that would do anything above and beyond. What is their emotional commitment to this? Because remember, we all only have 24 hours in a day, right? We all only have so much commitment to our things that we want to succeed at. We can't do everything. But who has that emotional commitment to the organization? Who has the emotional commitment to getting good results within this project? Who is that? They have to have that too. And the goal, they need to understand, what are those goals? What are we working for? How do I fit in? What do I need to do to help reach that goal? If you have all three of those things, you'll have a much more engaged team, or a totally engaged team. But you've got to have those three things at the minimum, and they have to be very, very clear. So think about, how are you communicating with the organization? How are you improving emotional commitment of people? And how are you helping them understand and reach the goals of the organization? So how do you engage that team? Measure where employees are at with engagement currently. You can do that through a variety of means. The one was the SHRM, and SurveyMonkey information that I gave you a few slides back. You can also use the Gallup if you want to use that. Set goals for yourself. Don't forget, too often we want to manage people, but we actually haven't managed kind of ourselves in that sense. We haven't set the goals for ourselves. We haven't set our vision out. We aren't engaged ourselves, right? We want everybody else to be engaged, but we're not engaged ourselves. So think about, what are the goals for yourself and how do you model that behavior that you need and that you want to experience for the patient? And then emotional commitment. How do you measure your employee's emotional commitment? Can you measure it? Yes. What is the attitude of an employee? Are you as committed and engaged as you should be? That is a really important question because, again, you can't expect everyone else to be engaged and committed and pushing for the goal if you're not the actual person that's leading that charge, okay? You don't have to necessarily be the rock star, but you need to be, it can't be like everyone is going to run this race except for the project manager. That can't happen. They need to be right along with the whole group going forward. So think about that, because a lot of times when our projects or our organization is not going forward, we kind of want to examine everything else around us, right? What's going wrong here? What's going wrong there? And sometimes we have to look internally and say, could it be that I'm not leading this as well as I should be? Do I need to realign my goal? Do I need to become committed and engaged again? Maybe I kind of lost a little of my rah-rah because I was working so hard. So think about that and kind of step back and reevaluate and say, okay, could it be that I have something to do with everyone else's not being as committed as I want them to be? Just a thought. Again, do patients trust your organization? You can measure that. You can ask them, do they trust you? Look at the information you collect from your patient survey. Do they refer? Do they refer you out? If they're not, that's a problem. So think about, do your patients really trust you? Do the employees trust the organization and leadership? That's one that you can definitely survey. Are there really trust there? Or do they think they're always hiding something, etc.? And most of that can be alleviated through good communication. And so think about that. And then think overall, what is the organization's reputation? What's the reputation when it comes to your employee? What's the reputation that you think it has? What does the community think about the organization? What do funders think of the organization, et cetera? So what is the reputation? Because an engaged workforce, a committed workforce, the reputation will automatically go up when we think about that. And it's just the way we work sometimes, right? So if when you think about Southwest Airlines, you think about Zappos shoot, you think about Disney, you think about Google, you think about Apple, you think about Ritz Carlton, you think about different organizations. And do you think they're perfect? No, but the reputation that they have precedes them and people believe that they're doing the best they can. And so think about that. What is the reputation of your organization and how do you improve that in whatever area you need to improve it in? So just think about that or your team. What are the goals of your organization or your project team? Again, those are really important. Remember that the engagement circle, the emotional commitments, the organizational goals, those are all part of that. So what are your goals? Whether they be professional, personal, organizational, project team-based, people need to know. Do they know what your goals are? We're all in healthcare, right? So what do we teach people when we're doing motivational interviewing? We teach them, we're really getting out of them, how they can motivate themselves to make changes in their behavior. But you have to have a goal. So you need to, again, think about what your goal is and make it small enough that you can actually achieve it. Sometimes we make these goals that are so far-fetched that people get very confused trying to get there. So think about what they are and let's get your expectations set and go and explain all of your goals to people and then you'll have a much more engaged workforce. So why is your engaged team so important? Think about it. The satisfaction of your patient, of your employee, that's huge. You need to maintain both of those, right? To continue your good work that you're doing in the community that you serve. So satisfaction is huge. You want stability in your organization, right? You want some stability. You don't want totally nobody to leave ever. That's not good. You don't bring new information in then. But you want stability. You want stability within your team. You want the identity. You need to have identity because just like I said, you know, people identify with these organizations. Good or bad, they identify with them, right? And enjoyment at work, right? What's wrong with enjoying your work? nothing, right? So people can work really, really hard. And, you know, you think of the Southwest Airlines employees. Now, whether they're always enjoying their job or not, I kind of doubt it. But when you first get on that plane, you definitely get the impression they are. And unless you do something that irritates them or do something against the law, generally speaking, they show their enjoyment of their job to you. And why can't we do that with everybody else? Again, please, thank you, smile. That doesn't cost extra money, right? So think about that. How are you enjoying your job? And then what is the reputation of your organization? All of these things fit into your employee engagement and your team engagement. So think about how this affects you. We're just going to review this real quick. Who do you need on your bus? Who do you need to get off your bus? Now, how do you go about engaging them? And you must have a plan. So the resources, there is a few books or a few articles that you can certainly read. Disney You by Doug Lipp. Fish by Stephen London. That is an awesome one if you've never read Fish. It actually has to do with the selling fish at the Seattle Fish Market and talk about kind of a mundane job and how to turn that into a job that people enjoy, right? Look at your Gallup Q12. Look at Employee Engagement 2.0 by Kevin Kraus. Read The New Gold Standard by the Ritz-Carlton Company. And a lot of this information can just be Googled. And you can really get a lot of information on a lot of this stuff that people are doing to engage customer service from there. Remember, it does not have to be a plan that's, you know, a $300,000 customer service plan, okay? You can do this internally yourself, starting with your project team. The resources for employee engagement, if you want to get that survey, go to SHRM.org and you'll have to join, but it's very minimal. And they have an employee engagement and customer survey that's done with SurveyMonkey for you to look up. The American Training and Development Organization also has information on employee engagement. There's a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins. If you haven't read that, I certainly recommend that. And then Influencing in the Workplace. Yeah, so I just want to say thank you, and thank you for all four of these webinars. Please go back and review the previous three. They contain a lot of information, and they contain actually how-to information, and that's what's really important for people.
Okay, we did have one question for you. What recommendations do you have to help improve motivation in the health workplace? Much of our work is tireless and goes unnoticed. It is the nature of the business. How can we help our staff without patronizing them?
Well, I think without knowing exactly, I mean, I have worked in healthcare for years. It is a very difficult job. It's very thankless in some ways, but people do. And part of it is that whoever the supervisor is needs to continually encourage people to do their best, right? And thank them for the job that they're currently doing. And again, give them information on what's happening in the organization. What impact are they making? Because without that, they just feel like they're just getting worked and worked and worked, right? I mean, you think of like emergency room. They have horrible things happen when they come in, but you can have some emergency rooms that function very highly with engaged employees and some that function highly with very unengaged employees just because people are committed to doing the best job. But both are very stressful positions. The one thing that I can recommend is that UCLA, which in a lot of ways is like a community health center or like some of these projects that you're working on, it's a difficult population in some ways and with great people. And so they have a whole series, and it's not a long thing. I actually have an audiobook. I can get the exact information for you. But it's an audiobook from UCLA, and it talks about how they motivate their staff and how they motivate their employees and how they work to engage their employees. And a lot of that has to do with their senior management. And I know some of us can't control what senior management does, right? But we can control our own actions. So if you're supervising or even if you're a team member, you can go around and ask people how they're doing. You can go and look for ways to improve the process. And you can talk to people and basically motivate them just by listening and being there. But I would recommend that audio book, or if you wanted to read it. And I will send that to you, Victor, and Steve.
Okay.
It's a great book. And it's real, because it's like healthcare, right? It's not like Disney or something like that. UCLA is real. It's busy. It's crazy. And, yeah. So it's a good book.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I did want to thank you for the excellent webinars in this series, and they were recorded and they'll be posted on the website as a series. I think the other ones are up there already. So yeah, I think it turned out very well.
Well, thank you so much for the series, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day. And again, if you catch this on the replay, if you have questions, let us know. Go back and replay the other ones also.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot. I guess that's it.
All right. Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.